Constructicons, it's time to rise up. Oh, hi, this is writer Tyler Blazinski, and you are listening to the GeekCast Radio Network.
Hey, it's Jack. Make sure you check out all things Transformers. I listen when I'm riding around Jasper with RC.
This is Optimus Prime, and you are listening to all things Transformers.
Hello and welcome to All Things Transformers. I'm your host, Steve Megatron, and joining me on this adventure into geekdom and Transformers fandom is TFG and Mike.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Do I know him? Of course I know him. He's me. I don't know why that's in my head.
What is that from?
It's Obi-Wan.
Ah, yeah, from A New Hope. Yeah, we need A New Hope.
Yeah, New Hope. So we are here once again talking Transformers. Last time we had story time with me. This time we are going to have Mega Customs from Megatron. So I know as of this recording, you've published your first blog on the website.
Correct.
About your process going through this. And I'm sure by the time I actually edit this episode, the second one will already be up. So what is your current status, or remind people what you're actually doing?
So for those that are unaware, I am making basically a Beast Wars Megatron from the Dawn of Future Past comic, but without the armor. So it's not the one with the Cybertron scattershot body where they used it in the Theft of the Golden Disk.
Right.
So it's from the comic. It was more fleshed out in the comic, so you get a lot more shots of it, whereas the only other shots you get are Beast Wars Episode 1.
Right.
And it's pretty much just him sitting in his chair as the screen kind of funnels around him.
Yeah.
And it's actually a slight retool of the reboot character, Giant Robot.
Okay.
Which was to fight Nullzilla, which was basically all these little wormy people that got nullified when basically a game went haywire.
Okay.
And it wipes them out. It basically takes away their body and their structure, and they become this like worm thing that's dangerous to touch.
Okay.
So this giant robot fought him, and basically they recycled that mold for Beast Wars Episode 1 with Megatron not having a beast form.
Right.
They just retooled the colors and did a little bit extra changes to it. And you get a little bit different colorizations in that episode than you do from the Dawn of Future Past comic strip. So like some of the dark purples are almost like a light blue silver, and some of the other aspects that are purple are like a black or dark gray because of lighting and shading. So they don't really give you a proper appearance of it per se. Whereas the comic, you get more of a fleshed out version of it, plus a vehicle mode that they don't actually show him transform into.
Right.
So more or less, I was playing around with the concept of this Megatron just because I've always enjoyed it, and I don't think that they're ever going to make a figure of it. So I thought I was pretty safe at trying to create it.
Okay.
And I don't know. I've been toying with the idea for like 6 months. And
well, you've always wanted a pre-Beast Megatron. You've always wanted a Golden Disk Megatron.
Yes.
And they're never going to make it. If they make it,
if they make this, it'll be a third party.
Yeah, I know.
It won't be Takara, Hasbro, or Haztec, as they call themselves now.
What?
Oh, it's the combined name.
Oh my god, I did not even.
Yeah, they call it Haztech, but when they're doing like Transformers related stuff, but it's still Hasbro, wow. But yeah. They're still separate. I mean, Takara Tomy is basically, it comes up like Tomy on half the stuff.
Yeah.
Anymore. And that's one thing I've really enjoyed about goofing off with creating customs over the last year. I made a Kingdom Dinobot or Grimlock based off the 1997 figure using the Kingdom Dinobot mold. And while it's not perfect, I think it's pretty much in that realm.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have brittle plastic syndrome.
Right. Yeah.
So anyways, I was sitting here trying to figure out how to make this figure. I made attempts with Combiner Wars leader Skywarp, which I thought was going to work based on the chat. And in truthful, nature, if I was going to go with that, I would have done a little bit of remolding and kind of kept that body as is, because a lot of it kind of works. Except for the legs. And then there was the aspect of I couldn't transform it, which slightly bothered me, but evidently it's bothered me enough that I was willing to swap molds completely. And so I decided, because I always knew Galvatron, War for Cybertron, Galvatron would play a part in the character design. I just didn't realize that it was going to be the figure. So I opted to swap out from Combiner Wars Skywarp after I butchered it and tore it apart, and went to this War for Cybertron Galvatron, which truthfully fits 90% of the mold, except for the chest. And when it transforms, there's the fact that the feet don't fold into this vehicle mode that it has. And when I first started building this, I was told, somebody said there's like laser wave or something like that. It was from the Transformers Prime cartoon anyways. And it was one of the random beasts, and it had a weapon that looked like the gun almost that this Megatron uses in robot mode.
Right.
The unfortunate part is it wouldn't fit in any of the hands, and it looked weird. So I got it in the interim. I mean, it was like $5, so it wasn't a huge deal, but it's still a waste. So I was doing some digging, and as I was going through various figures trying to figure out what to replace Combiner Wars leader Skywarp with, I saw Combiner Wars Onslaught.
Oh, nice.
And I was like, that might work, but I don't like the robot mode. Like it won't fit. It needs more of the rounded nature that Galvatron has.
Yeah.
And one of the example photos that they showed was Combiner Wars Legends Shockwave attached to the top as the cannon.
Interesting.
And as I was looking at it, I was going, that will actually work. And so I pulled up a picture of him, and it's a little longer than anticipated, which is fine.
Right.
I tore off his robot mode arms. His robot mode legs fold in, and his knees are actually that they match the blaster on this Megatron that I'm trying to make.
Yeah.
For his gun part. And although they do use his arms kind of building into this gun mode, like they attach into it, whereas this does not. I did find that there's a peg right on his back that when you transform it, depending on how you transform it, like I'm not going to transform it into the Galvatron cannon. It's going to more or less lay down. So I painted this weapon and attached it to that spot after I cut off one of the extra handles and the scope on the top of him, and it looked perfect. So then I, this is of course after I got the Galvatron, and I've started painting it and butchering it. I've cut off the treads. I've removed his, the little waist cannon things that were attached. And I figured out that they can attach to his shoulders, like the towers on his shoulders.
Right.
However, I've figured out another method in the interim while I've been sitting here waiting is that I can use Optimus Primal, the original. His shoulder pads.
Very cool.
Will fit. So I might have to create like a slight remold on the inside using some of this putty that I've been using to remold the chest of the figure into what I want.
Interesting.
But it will, once I repaint it and I smooth it out, it will look pretty much like the figure as far as like the image is concerned. And the chest, the remold, that was not fun. Because I used the Combiner Wars Skywarp chest to begin with. I remolded it, and then I made a brand new one using three parts from Combiner Wars Skywarp. I glued them together. It fits the look. And then I'm using Lego for the little silvery part that looks like it flips the chest piece up. Now, mind you, I did not glue this chest piece to the original, to the Galvatron chest piece. I merely put enough putty on it that it's stuck to all of the crevices. So I'm sure if I hit it hard enough, it would come off.
Right.
Because that's what happened with the other chest piece, but that one was primarily plastic. This one is like heavy retool, and I filled in every crevice. Now I have managed to separate the chest and fold the chest up since I've attached it by separating it from the arms where they separate. So it's very durable in that sense. And the paint is pretty dry. I got to do another coat of the purple, but I've been going through it with this metallic graphite looking gray, dark gray metallic color. I like the glossy look. So that's kind of what I go for. When I design, even though it may look better with flat paint or matted paint, but I like the gloss look. So that's what I go for. Instantly. And so
very cool.
I've been trying to get my hands on a head, like a Megatron head.
That's longer, what she said.
Yeah, longer than I've had the Galvatron. And I was supposed to get one from one guy, and it was going to be Kingdom Megatron, and that's the ideal head because it can attach to the ball joint that's on Galvatron.
Right.
And it's the one I want anyway. Yep. However, I don't think it's ever going to appear. And whether it be fault of the post office or whatever, I don't know. Like we're currently waiting on floor for our living room that was supposed to be here today as of this recording on the 21st, I think it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
And anyways, we were supposed to have it. It was supposed to be here. And they're like, oh, no, it's stuck in a shipment center in the next major hub. And it's like 5 days from getting unloaded.
Oh my God.
So we tore up our carpet and we're waiting on this laminate flooring. So yeah. So I mean, I believe it with shipping, you know, that it could just be lost in the ether. Although I've had things from China show up faster. And yeah.
We need a point-to-point space bridge or ground bridge for shipping, and just, you know, Optimus Prime or Megatron or Hot Rod shows up. Here's your package. Like, seriously.
But yeah, so I got another guy on AllSpark who was kind enough to send me a OG 1996 T-Rex Megatron head. The only downside is I have to figure out how to make the ball joint that's attached to the Galvatron body work with the head, because back then they used to put the ball joints on the heads.
Yep.
Whereas now they put the ball joints on the figure.
Yep.
So either way they unscrew, but you can't take the ball joint off. So I'm going to have to cut that part off, and I'm going to have to like be very careful with how I get it ready to attach to the figure. And I've already taken the eyes out. I've painted them. I've painted the front of the face, the back of the head, because they, if you remember, they had the mutant the mutant heads with the bat face looking thing.
Yep.
Going on, like the almost Beetlejuice looking.
Yes. Yeah.
I've filled that in with putty, so I'm waiting for that to dry, and as soon as it is, I get to chisel the leftover, smooth it out, and then paint the back of the head, and then put it together, and then I'll have the head looking like the comic, which
right.
I think it's going to look pretty good when it's done. But then I got to paint the rest of the figure and attach the shoulder pads. But yeah, otherwise it's coming along pretty nicely and I'm pretty happy with it. And it'll be in scale with the rest of the figures, which will be nice.
Yeah. With you doing your ultimate pre-Beast Megatron, is this, like, I know you're still going to do custom things here and there, but, like, is this your ultimate custom project that you want to do, or do you want to do more after this?
See, I don't know. It's very intensive. I do enjoy it. I'm very impatient, so I don't like the time that I have to wait yeah. between it. And I did learn quite a bit of how to custom mold it with not being somebody that's capable of doing 3D printing or 3D design.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm very happy with how it turned out. And it's all about finding the right parts and finding the right, like, for instance, the cannon, the gun, the head, the torso, the body. It's all about finding the right stuff. And with Transformers, there's like there's thousands of different variations. It's just finding them in the size class that you need them.
Yep.
So while this is my kind of holy grail figure, I can't say one way or the other what I'll do. It also kind of depends on how the Transmetal 2 Megatron, Dragon Megatron that comes out later this year looks.
Yeah.
Because I may attempt a Beast Machines. Depending on how it comes out. Like it would depend on how the wings work and how the figure looks, because if it looks possible,
right,
I'll attempt it. If it doesn't look possible, and honestly, all I would need to do is build the cloak with the arms
yeah.
and then the headpiece, because the rest of it I would be fine, but because it just slides inside. So I'll see how the whole thing will turn out, like when that time comes, because I have no idea, but I also would not mind trying to get like a canine reissue and turning it from a German Shepherd into a Beagle, just to see if I can.
Yeah. That would be awesome. That would absolutely be awesome. So as we mentioned at the beginning of this, I think, you know, you're not only are you doing this custom for yourself, you're also documenting this in multiple part write-ups on
bcastradio.com
with the pictures so everyone can follow along with your progress.
Yeah, I've been cataloging it on the AllSpark Discord. I've been doing it on AllSpark's website, primarily on TFW, as well as on Geekcast Radio. And so I originally started it over at TFW, and right. people are very, very enthusiastic about it.
Sweet.
Seeing how it turns out, because they're like, yeah. it's very ambitious. And then when I told people I was using the Milliput putty, they were like, I am not normally a fan of putty at all. And they're like, but you have done it very well. And I was like, yeah. that's pretty good for not knowing what I was doing.
Well, again, it's, you know, it's a skill you're trying to learn. You're not going to learn like every, you know what I mean? Like,
well, and the putty is pretty cheap, actually. I was looking it up. somebody on one of the Transformers forums mentioned it.
Mm-hmm.
And just in passing, they were like, Milliput is a, you know, versatile epoxy putty, which is highly adhesive to most materials, and it can be sculpted, and once cured can be machined, drilled, tapped, turned, you know, filed, sawn, sandpapered, and painted. So
yeah.
it's very, you know, you can use it to fix like when you mix the two pieces together that it comes with, there's like two different putties. Like one of them is it creates like some kind of a chemical reaction when you mix it together to where it will harden even in water.
Very cool.
So they say like you can use it for model making, sculpting, boat repairs, car body repairs, temporary repairs for gas tanks, batteries, radiators, exhausts, do-it-yourself, plumbing, and household repairs. So I'm just using it for sculpting and model making, but I'm very happy with how that's turned out. So I think that when that time comes for the other custom, I might give that a shot. And if I can create a custom for a Dragon Megatron, I think that I'll give that a shot too later on. But I'm very enthusiastic with how it's turned out so far. Even though I'm still learning, like the painting process, I'm still not great at, and it depends on the color. Like certain colors, I can paint it pretty good, but then there's certain I've noticed there's certain shades that are very difficult to get it evenly proportioned on whatever you're painting.
Yeah, it's always difficult when things don't work out, but you always find a way around it no matter what. So. Yeah, it's going to be an interesting journey, and like you said, depending on how this one goes and how much you enjoy the process and enjoy what the overall product is after the fact, you may do more, especially with that Dragon Megatron coming out.
Yeah, and I'm hoping it's not red. I'm hoping it's Transmetal 2 because they just say Dragon Megatron.
Yeah.
99% of everyone is hoping that it's still Transmetal 2.
Yeah, still Transmetal 2, Dragon Megatron. Yeah, absolutely. I don't want to. So there's a thing, folks. Lately, in the last 3-4 weeks, maybe longer, maybe a few months, maybe a whole couple of years, where somebody will give an opinion and say, "Come on and do it, you cowards," at the end of the opinion kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
My first thought is, come on, Hasbro, you cowards, give us a Cloak Megatron.
I wish they would do Beast Machines, to be honest, because those are some of the worst made figures in the world.
I know. And you think of everything that they've done to this point, everything that we've gotten over the years, and all the new stuff all the new G1 stuff and all the new Beast stuff and everything else that they could,
Well, everything they've come out with for the Studio Series 86 and the War for Cybertron line.
Mm-hmm.
Has been spectacular.
Yep.
And both in design and, I mean, yeah, they've skimped a lot on paint, but that's something a customizer can't fix.
Right.
Like Terrorsaur, I've completely repainted a lot of them. Other than the red, I've repainted just about everything else on the figure. But
right.
But yeah, I mean, I did the same thing with Rat Trap and Air Razor as well. Tigatron, I didn't touch him, but that's more so out of fear. It's perfect the way it is, and I'm just like, I just don't want to touch it.
Nope.
Yeah, I've messed with all my other ones, though. But yeah, I mean, there's no reason why they can't come up with it. Plus, the third-party companies like TransArt doing upscaled, show-accurate Transmetals has been awesome.
Yes, it has.
I hear that they've got in a pipe a Transmetal 2 Megatron that they've had for years, but they kind of put brakes on it because of the other company that I had the one from.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the other one, don't get me wrong, it was spectacular, but it was too bloody huge. Whereas the TransArt one would be in scale with their optimal.
Yep.
Which people are mad because they're like, it's not masterpiece scale. It's too tall. It's too short. Like, he should be taller. And I'm like, if he was taller, then I would not want it.
Yeah.
It's like the original Masterpiece Primal is like two heads shorter than Transmetal Primal. And then Transmetal Primal is two heads shorter than their optimal.
Right.
Like, I don't need huge.
Yeah.
No. But now, don't get me wrong, the Transmetal Dinosaur is going to be about the same height as optimal, and I don't care. I'm all for it. That's one of my favorite designs. So that absolutely. One I don't care. And it's not bigger than my shelf.
There you go.
So But yeah, so I'm still working on my Megatron, and we'll see. I've been cataloging carefully. If I really had been motivated enough, I would have done videos, but honestly, I didn't want to have to edit me tinkering with it for hours on end.
Yeah.
So the pictures work. I'll just write up multiple blogs.
Yeah. I mean, that's good enough.
Then I should try and custom mold them a chair so I don't have to 3D print it. It'll harden. It's fine.
Yep. Yep. Very, very cool on Megatron's Mega Customs. And since we are talking about Megatron and Beast Wars and everything else, I did want to bring up a couple of TFW stories. We have the IDW Publishing Beast Wars James Marsh retail incentive cover for Beast Wars number 15. It's basically Megatron's cheeky, grinning purple face on the cover while he's squeezing a Optimus Primal doll in his hand like he would squeeze his rubber ducky. That's awesome. Those colors. Oh, man. Oh, it's so good.
I do like it.
It's so good.
I the other thing I'm sad about is that this is the end.
Yeah, issue 17 in June will be the end of the Beast Wars comic from IDW. The other cover we have is from Lana Suvani. She scores the second Previews World Beast Wars April reveal with her retail incentive cover for the incoming 2022 annual. Okay, so this is for the annual cover. This is not for the Beast Wars number 15. So they're doing a 2022 annual. It's got Rhinox on the left. Is that Scold? Yeah, Scold on the right. And then Megatron behind them blasting into somebody. So very, very, very cool. You know what? Say what you will about IDW Publishing, folks. I have loved their Transformers stuff since I started reading it. There are certain things. You can go back in our pullback Transformers coverage that we've done that whatever, but overall IDW has done an amazing job, and so far we have been loving the Beast Wars comic. I love that they give us annuals in almost anything and everything that they do. So, you know, I mean, it might be a short-lived run, but who knows? Maybe something will happen in the future with Beast Wars. I don't see why it wouldn't. I mean, we just hit the 25th anniversary.
I know.
You know what I mean? So,
I'm all for more Beast Wars comics.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't mind a Machine Wars just because it would take things in a different direction.
Yep.
And they had a and I know Burcham had a lot of fun drawing those as well on his DeviantArt.
Yep.
As well as Beast Wars. And so I would love to see a Machine Wars comic with that universe and how that all plays out. So it's something different than G1. Don't get me wrong. I really like G1, but I think that there's only so far you can take it. And especially with all of the variations we've gotten over the years with Marvel, Dreamwave, and IDW. And, you know, whether you like one over the other, it's immaterial, but each one brought something different to the franchise. And, you know, each one had different aspects. I personally did not get into any of the IDW stuff as much as other than the Beast Wars, whereas Dreamwave, I loved everything. And and Marvel, there was only G1, but it went all over the place, and I enjoyed that as well.
Yeah, we don't know what the future is going to hold for Transformers comics, but I'm optimistic about it no matter who gets it. I know this probably isn't going to happen, and I don't want to sit here and start a rumor mill, but can you imagine if DC got Transformers? What a world.
or if Marvel got it back.
True. The only thing that I would want if DC got the Transformers license, and I don't think they will get it, obviously, but I would want a Hot Rod Nightwing team up.
You would.
Well, yeah. Hello. But yeah, no, it's Transformers customizations with Steve Megatron here on All Things Transformers. The last episode I talked about storybooks with Wheelie. The next episode, who knows, folks? It might be a news episode. It might be an Origins episode. It might be something completely different. I'm not sure yet. I do know that I do have plans. I'm trying to finalize the plans of how I want us to cover the live-action films, because I want this to be a blockbuster summer of all things Transformers. Notice he's not saying anything, folks.
because it scares me.
Oh, stop.
They're not that bad, but they get progressively worse as it goes down.
All right, so I will say this here, because like I said, I don't know what the next episode is going to be. It might be, I've already mentioned, and he's already mentioned that he'd be interested in doing it. It might be another Origins episode with another one of the transmission crew, Charles Big C. But I, like I said, I'm trying to figure out how I want us to cover the live action films. And we will be covering all six of them, but I think we're going to cover them in the release date order. Because even though Bumblebee is technically a prequel film to the first film,
it doesn't really tie in with this continuity.
Right, right. It doesn't, but I want to start where we started 15 years ago with the 2007 movie and then build our way up and then say, hey, Bumblebee is kind of this bridge point, and then whatever, obviously by the time we're recording this, Rise of the Beasts won't even be out yet, but we can mention, hey, this is where the future of the thing is going. The reason why I'm saying all of this is that today, before we recorded this episode and the one right before it, I'm doing live action film research and I'm looking at images and I'm looking at this and that and whatever else, and I'm trying to find things that I can make Steve make for banners and things like that. And I watched all of the first of the original trailers for every single film. 2007, Revenge of the Fallen, Dark of the Moon, Age of Extinction, The Last Knight, and Bumblebee. I am still perfectly okay with the very first, the first trailer, not the teaser that we got, but the very first trailer of the 2007 film. I'm still okay with it. Revenge of the Fallen is a little sketchy. Dark of the Moon is kind of cringy. There are a couple of good shots. Age of Extinction and The Last Knight, I want to rip my eye holes out. Especially with The Last Knight. I'm going to, when we do that episode, I'm going to go on such a tirade. Oh my, and I haven't even watched that movie. I have only ever, so we talked about earlier in this episode, you know, don't steal heads off of toy packaging, folks. Well, somehow the Eighth Commandment doesn't really apply to
faces.
You know, well, no, I was going to say, I was going to say getting films, because I remember you had sent me The Last Knight at one point or another online, and I'm like, I don't know if I want to watch this. I think I made it through maybe the first 5 minutes of The Last Knight, and I just stopped it. I never went back to it. And that's why I want us to go through these movies, because I don't go back and rewatch any of the live action Transformers films. 2022 is the 15 year anniversary of the first one, and I want to go into it fresh. And I want to look at the films and see. The one thing I will say that remains constant throughout all of the 1 through 5, Steve Jablonsky's music is the one thing out of all the trailers I watched today is the one thing I pulled out of the original 5 films was this the Jablonsky score that plays in the trailers. That's the one thing that I will absolutely praise until I die about the live action films. The rest of it, well, you'll just have to tune in and hear what we say.
Pretty much.
Yes, folks. I have plans. If only I could do the Mr. Burns. Excellent. I can't do it, but
Then there's the other thing that you could do too. We could always cover the old Marvel comic line.
Yes, and we will. And we will.
I have the whole thing.
Yay. Absolutely. I've heard nothing, but I don't know. It's interesting because I didn't – the cartoon was my first – you know, 1985 is when I first actually noticed the cartoon because I don't really remember much of when I was 4 years old in 84. And ever since then, it's been all about that and, you know, everything that's come after it. I wasn't even – and on Dreamwave, we could do Dreamwave too.
That's so, true. I got that too.
Yeah. I kind of do and I kind of don't want to catch up with the second or the third phase of IDW. Besides Beast Wars, I don't know. I'm up in the air over that. But, you know, Ryan, the Uneven Flow, Merkley, and I spent X number of years on the pull bag reviewing all of Phase 2 of IDW. And Phase 2 is it's not everybody's cup of tea, but once you look at it in a way of, oh my God, this is 13 years of comics with Transformers and characters we've never seen and characters we grow to love and characters we grow to hate. And, you know, they didn't just bring in Unicron after the 50th issue or whatever. Well, they kind of did, but you know what I mean? It's from 2005 to, you know, 2017, 18, whatever. They didn't just bring in Unicron in that second phase immediately. So it was like this big building of stories, and James Roberts and John Barber, amazing writers, so many artists, Alex Milne, who's the one on the robots, Andrew Griffith, Josh Burcham, Josh Perez, a whole bunch of amazing, amazing people contributed to the IDW Phase 2 books, and it's very, very fun. I will say this before we close, since you're mentioning we could do the Marvel run. I'm actually listening to a podcast, Transformers, The Marvel Chronicles, with Pat Sampson, Delvin Williams, and Jonathan Schaefer Hames. John, along with his lovely wife Maggie, did an All Things Transformers origin. They did a pullback origin, and they will be the next ones on the Tooncast Origins. So I am listening to that podcast, and they're going through the run. So I'm like, ooh, I get to kind of feel it out before we actually do it. So yeah, lots of cool things coming up here in All Things Transformers. As always, we will still be bringing you news, the news that we want to talk about and things like that. And I know I didn't mention it at all in the last episode, but I got to mention it here because apparently it's coming or it's already here or something. I don't know. I don't have my Netflix subscription at the current rate. But BotBots is on its way. I've seen plenty of things with the BotBots. And again, it's one of those things where everybody has something from Transformers. If BotBots isn't your thing, that's fine. That's perfectly okay. You can have whatever is over in this corner kind of thing. And like I've said in other HTF episodes, I think BotBots is going to be hilarious, and it's going to be a maybe not the best shining light, but it's going to be a bright spot in the dark years that have been plaguing Transformers visual media for a while. Did you want to mention about your boys getting into Rescue Bots and Rescue Bots Academy?
Sure. Yeah, let's put it this way. They went to Michigan and came back with 4 new Rescue Bot Academy figures, and my mom sent them the entire cast of the Rescue Bots Prime show.
Cool.
So they have varying degrees of different versions of like Blades and Boulder and Heatwave and Chase.
Yep.
And then they've got all the new ones too, other than Medics. And they rather enjoy those characters and those figures. And they're not like as articulated as like the Beast Wars or the War for Cybertron. They're basically like preschool type.
Yeah.
But there's varying degrees of that too. So they rather enjoy it quite a bit. And So they have this whole armada of characters now. To the point I think they almost dwarf my collection collectively between the two. Because they do have some War for Cybertron stuff. They do have some Robots in Disguise characters. They do have some Beast Wars. They do have some reissue Beast Wars. So yeah, they've got a nice little well-rounded amount of stuff.
Very cool, very cool.
So
yeah, there's still so much, and that's why I want us to get into do the blockbuster summer of the live action movies, because we've never, like, when I came on your podcast here,
the first movie had just come out.
Yeah, I mean, like a year prior, and we hit with Revenge of the Fallen, and we hit with, this is so funny to me. I don't know what the downloads are on our Revenge of the Fallen podcast episode are for all things Transformers, but that is my most watched, because I used to take the podcast audio and I would put it to a picture or whatever, and I would just, you know, put it on my YouTube channel. And most popular is our All Things Transformers Dark of the Moon discussion. That was 10 years ago. It has 133,000 views on my personal YouTube channel.
Nice.
The next biggest video I have is 38,000 with Cars Tune Tokyo Mater. And one that I'm very proud of. Doesn't have all that many views, but where is it? It should be up here somewhere. Where is that damn video? It's me and P.A. He delivered animated Rodimus Prime to me. He was down in Louisville at the time for whatever. There it is. 6,300 views. Yeah, I don't really... like. My YouTube channel is basically just me goofing off half the time. It's not, you know... I don't know. It's not like I do various things on there. I need to do more on there and that kind of thing. But yeah, I mean, you know, we did Dark of the Moon. And then after that, I don't think we ever did Age of Extinction. And then I obviously know we didn't do Last Night. I mean, if I've only seen the first 10 minutes of it, you know.
I've seen all of them. I just, yeah, like I said, it gets progressively worse.
Yeah, and I've seen most of the clips of Bumblebee, but I haven't actually watched that
movie. I've watched that one, and while it's not, it's entertaining in its own right, but I don't, it's weird. Like, I don't know, like, I like it, but then I don't. I almost feel horrible for saying that, but.
Well, you know, we'll see. Like I said, it's just one of those things where, like I've already said, you have the whole gamut of stuff we've covered in the last 14, 15 years, and you have a lot of things that we have never covered. Like, we have never, not that I want to even try to go out and get them and read them, but we've never covered the prose novels that Alex Irvine did, like Extinction, or not Extinction, it was Exiles and Retribution and Exodus. Exodus, Exiles, and Retribution. Those were the three prose novels that they had tried to release. They did release them, but, you know, so there's plenty of more Transformers stuff we can do that is not specifically G1. I don't even look, until Peter Cullen shows up as a bot, I don't even really think BotBots is a specific G1 thing. I think it's its own thing, and I think that's good.
I'm fine with it within reason. I don't know. I felt like Rescue Bots was probably the coolest thing that didn't have to include Prime.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, we can go through. I have no problem going through Rescue Bots. That's, you know, that's
I wouldn't cool. mind that. It's kind of uplifting and it's different. And you get a pretty good voice cast. The only thing I didn't like with Academy is they recast everyone from Rescue Bots.
Damn it.
Like, everyone, they replaced everyone with cheaper actors.
How can you replace Steve Bloom, Maurice LaMarche, Imari Williams? I forget who plays Blades, but I mean, between.
And Jeff Bennett was a lot of the.
Yep.
Because, like, I was like, oh, that's Prowl and animated. Mm-hmm. But. Or Johnny Bravo. But yeah, they recast everyone. Like, there's not a voice that's not been touched.
That's sad. I don't know. But it's just one of those things that happens, folks, I guess. And, you know, it is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But yes, there's plenty more for us here at All Things Transformers to discuss. There's plenty more for us to go through on this podcast. And you'll hear more about Steve Megatron's Mega Customs coming soon.
Yes.
So there's that. You can follow us on all things TFV3 on Twitter. I am at TFG on Mike. You can also follow at Geekcast Radio. You can also follow at TF Toycast if you want to follow that stuff as well. I don't post as much on there, but usually when we do a Toycast episode, obviously I post it. What are your Twitters, sir?
At SCP-21 and for Megatron, at BW_Megatron.
I always expect a yes after everything he says, and he always disappoints me with a no.
How dare you? I'll melt you down to aluminum siding. Oh, yes, indeed. What's going on around here?
Yeah.
I wish to speak to my lawyer.